Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and with the media, as well as with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your mind, your eyes may be opened and your mind may ultimately change towards some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, my mission will be to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events may shape our world over the next 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, by way of His one and only covenant, and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship. Our phone number for those who would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours is 877-376-45. I have strongly and long suspected that what we witnessed over the weekend in Cyprus is a foreshadowing of things to come. You see, in Cyprus, they have engaged in what I call economic pedophilia. They have chosen to lavish indulgences upon themselves, benefits that they have not earned, and they have racked up considerable debt. And because of that debt, their economy is failing. And because of that debt, they are now dependent upon others to bail them out. Now, there is nothing new there. We did a program not too long ago with Craig Smith where we analyzed the nations that were the most in debt, both by aggregate dollars as well as percentage of their economy. And what we found is that Great Britain, as a percentage of the economy, along with Iceland, leading the parade. In terms of aggregate dollars, the United States, of course, is the chief drum master of this parade. And so that is really nothing new. It is new in the sense that fiat money over the last 40 years has enabled this condition to exist in Europe and throughout the Americas. But what is new is what happened over the weekend in Cyprus. One of the things that I've shared with our listeners over these past years is that in this new world order that we're heading towards, we're now just but 13 years prior to the beginning of the tribulation. So the New World Order that is on our immediate horizon will look at savings the same way that it looks at business, the same way that it looks at those who are self-reliant, who are sufficient, who are responsible financially. It will despise them. And it will look at those who are dependent as if they are a prize to be fleeced. And so what we saw in Cyprus is a foreshadowing, I think, of what is to come. Savings will be confiscated. Debt will be forgiven. And that is what happened in Cyprus. Their debts are, in essence, forgiven because they are going to receive monies from Europe to pay them off. But for Europe to pay that money, Europe has said, we want to seize 10% of the savings accounts held in Cyprus banks. Let me share a little bit of this article with you. And while we do, I'm going to bring Larry into the program. Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning, Yada?
Pretty good. I'm for those who may not know, I took 6 days off. I have just returned from a vacation, and the reason it may not be obvious is that Scott, our beloved producer, did the work for me while I was gone. We pre-recorded those shows, so they were all new material, particularly on the news and on the presentation of Passover. But today I'm actually sitting here live, or attempting to be live. I'm on a different time zone than I'm normally accustomed to being. It's quite a story out of Cyprus, isn't it, Larry? That the very things that we have been talking about now for years manifest before our eyes. I'm convinced, and I'm going to share some of the statements in this article from CNN, Dateline London, about what the European Union is asking for in return for their debt bailout in Cyprus, but that they would literally have the gall to steal people's savings. I mean, it's one thing that they confiscate people's earnings, and particularly those who earn enough to be self-sufficient. I mean, that is the Obama, for example, war on business, on his class warfare against those who are productive, who those who are successful.
That's right.
But when you go about saying, you know, we're going to go beyond stealing two-thirds of what you earn, we're now going to steal what you've saved, that puts them in an entirely different class. And I am convinced.
That's called criminal. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's you can't call it illegal. Because they write the laws. But
yeah,
they write the laws, and they
tell you what they're going to take and how they're going to do it. So although it's immoral, you can't call it illegal. I agree with that.
Right. It's immoral, it's unethical, but it is not illegal. What is interesting here is that I am convinced that there have been discussions in the Obama White House. Obama is a socialist. And in that White House, I am convinced that they've had this very discussion and that they have talked about, can we get away with it? Could we do the same thing in America? And that there were discussions even in the Obama White House before this plan was foisted on Cyprus, and this is the test balloon, that there are conversations going on even now in the White House of whether or not Obama can perpetrate the same kind of sleight of hand in the United States under the auspices of everyone paying their fair share, under the auspices, this is what's needed to resolve American deficits.
They often do that. They often run the trial balloon, and I it's funny because I witnessed it the same way. I thought this is a trial balloon, not just for the U.S., but for all of Europe.
Correct. That is precisely what they're doing. And what they're showing is their utter disdain for those who are not dependent upon them. What they wish to do, and that we're moving towards a one-world fascist state. This is not a conspiracy theory here at all. I'm just laying the facts out as the pieces fall and making the connections. The reality is we're moving towards a one-world fascist state. Now, I know that a lot of people think that we're moving towards a communist state. That's not the case. And the reason that there is a subtle distinction between them is in a communist state, it's only those who are in the political hierarchy that benefit financially. In a fascist state, it is not only those who are empowered politically, but it's also those who are powered economically that are in an advantage state, and that everyone else becomes effectively a slave. It's like feudal Europe during the time that the Roman Catholic Church and kings and queens formed an alliance together to control the people. And that is where we're moving. And in so doing, the thing that they have to control is people's savings and their ability to earn, because what they wish to do is to make everyone dependent upon government.
Yeah, well, you know, you make a point there. There's a subtle difference between fascism and communism, and I agree. It's corporatism. It's international corporatism, fascism that we're seeing.
And I want to be a little bit careful here in the sense that I don't like the term corporatism, because business is actually business is the source of revenue. The very thing that enables governments to exist, people to have opportunity is business.
And so I appreciate you saying, no, I'm not anti-business as in working. I am anti business, as in international businesses, that would put any competitors out of business with laws they write in order to grab up and steal things that really don't belong
yes.
to them.
Yes. There are some there are some international businesses that are rotten to the core. It's a very, 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 it's a very, very tiny percentage of business.
Right.
Not even a tenth of 1%.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
But they're the ones that will end up running it all in the end.
Yeah, there's individuals, they'll be the oligarchs of the New World Order that will have tremendous, say. It's very much like what happened, in the United States following the creation of the Federal Reserve and the income tax system in 1913, that robber barons come to the forefront. It's like what happened when the United States outlawed alcohol and made it a tremendous financial opportunity for those who would skirt the law. Yes, and so that is really what we're going to see. It's exactly what we have seen since the fall of the Soviet Union in Russia. Russia has gone from being a communist country to a fascist country, and in the process, the oligarchs have become some of the wealthiest individuals in the world. And so it is the only distinction between communism and fascism is that in fascism, it is possible for individuals to still own businesses and to still own a property, where in a communist system, they cannot. And so the reason the distinction is small is because in a fascist and a communist system, all the decisions are made from above and imposed upon people so that while people can own things, the government controls them. And so the government controls people, and it controls businesses, and it controls land. So labor, land, and possessions are controlled by the government, just as they are in this country. America has a government that is so overregulated in terms of its businesses that it is in a recession. We have put ourselves out of the manufacturing business in America by overregulating business. We put ourselves into a recession by overregulating banks. And so this is the condition. The only distinction between fascism and communism is that both are centrally imposed regulations and control by the political aspects of government. But in a fascist nation or a fascist world, you can still have oligarchs are fabulously wealthy individuals who are the lords of the New World Order. And to put the world in this condition, you not only need to confiscate the vast majority of the earnings of those who are productive, but you also need to confiscate their savings. That's what happened in Cyprus.
Weakened by Jesus.
Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about the Cyprus. Maybe listening and say, what do I care about Cyprus? It's a tiny little island in the Mediterranean. The reason you ought to care a lot about Cyprus is that it is a trial balloon. It is what you should expect in America. And if you're awake, you ought to be very concerned. Because one of the things that happened in Cyprus, in fact, let me just read the beginning of this article and you'll get the gist. 2 days after the European Union revealed a 10 billion euro rescue for Cyprus. You see, when a country is bankrupt and can no longer service its debt, which is where America is headed, as we approach 20 trillion in debt, in fact, we're way over that now if you consider our contingent liabilities of Social Security and Medicare. But as just our the debt that we're paying interest on in America, as it approaches $20 trillion, we will no longer be able to service it, which means that we will have our hand out for a rescue. It's like going bankrupt and looking for a white knight. Well, in this case, in Cyprus, the island nation that said that its banks were closed. So 2 days after the European Union offered them the 10 billion euro rescue, they shuttered its banks. They're still closed. They're not going to reopen until at least on Thursday. Now, why do you suspect? Now, this the article here from CNN, of course, taking the government's line, taking the European financiers' line, says, oh, the banks are just closed to give Cyprus more time to win the banking of backing a parliament for a controversial tax on deposits. Oh, the banks are only closed so that the government in Cyprus can do the right thing and so that they can approve this confiscation of savings. Now, imagine that. The idiot that wrote this article didn't recognize the banks were closed because if you announce that you're going to confiscate 10% of everyone's savings, that people are going to take their savings out of the banks. And what you end up doing by doing this is creating a run on the banks that is absolutely guaranteed to create a depression. And it's not just in Cyprus. If this goes through in Cyprus, what it's going to do is that everybody that has savings in a bank in Italy, Spain, in the UK, in Portugal, in Ireland, and ultimately in the United States will take their money, their savings, out of the banks because they know that the same thing could happen and will happen to them. You can't do this kind of thing without at least some percentage of the people saying, oh boy, I better take my money out of the bank. That's why the banks are closed. You can't have any of your money now if it's deposited in Cyprus. It's not just that they're going to take 10%. You have access to nothing now. Now, in keeping, Larry, with what I had shared at the beginning of this program, all that the parliament in Cyprus is negotiating now, they're not negotiating whether or not to accept this 10% reduction on savings, the confiscation of savings in Cyprus banks. And by the way, it is those deposits, the savings, that create the loans. Without deposits, there can be no loans. And so the moment you restrict savings, you restrict the ability of the economy, of businesses in your community from borrowing monies to make investments, to build their businesses, to employ people. So it's just economic illiteracy at bay here, either that or malfeasance, purposeful desire to crater the economy, to make people wholly dependent on an unreliable government.
I'll pick the latter of the two.
Okay. What they are arguing now is not whether or not to allow the European Union to confiscate 10% of the savings of people. But there was already a bleeding heart approach to all of this, because you see, we can't take the money of the poor people. We can only take the money of the wealthy people. And they decided that wealth was having savings of 100,000 euros, not a million euros, 100,000 euros, yeah, about $125,000. And so now what they're negotiating is they're willing to capitulate. They're willing to let the European Union steal 10% of the savings of those who have more than 100,000 euros on deposit. But it's the 6.75% of the savings of those with less than 100,000 on deposit that they want protected. That's all they're negotiating. Welcome to the New World Order. If you like this, you'll like your future.
I have bought.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yana. We're here with Larry. We're talking about our future, which is what was proposed in Cyprus. It is precisely what Americans and Europeans should expect over the next 10 to 15 years. This unprecedented tax, I'm now reading from the CNN article, this unprecedented tax, it's called a tax. Amazing that it's called a tax. They're simply stealing 10% of the savings of anyone who has money invested in, not invested in, but money saved in, money deposited in European or Cyprus bank. So if you have money deposited in a Cyprus bank, they're stealing 10% of your money, and they're calling it a tax. On banks' deposits, spooked investors who feared that other weak Eurozone states could eventually be forced down the same path, despite EU statements to the contrary. So when your government says, oh, we're doing this only in Cyprus, we'll never do this in any other country, what does that mean, Larry?
It means they're going to do it to you.
That's exactly what that means.
The exact opposite. It always does. One of the things I just wanted to point out, I spent a lot of time in the 70s over in Europe. And one of the things you'd find in places, say like Italy, I noticed that there was red and black writing on all the walls, everywhere. It was like in spray paint.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what it amounted to is that the red was for communism and the black was for fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thought to myself, why would anyone choose either?
Right.
Animal. I mean, really.
Yeah, but what's, I mean, just and why get all as they say, you get your panties all in a twit over one side versus the other. You know, the fascists think that their arch enemy is the communists, and the communists think that their arch enemy is the fascists. And you've got these opposing sides, and particularly young people willing to resort to violence to support their side versus the other person's side.
That'd be like debating who I'd rather prefer to have be my fearless leader, Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin. I mean, it's just insane.
That's exactly right. And, you know, even as you mentioned Adolf Hitler, his party, the Nazi party, was the Socialist Workers' Party. Yes, he declared animosity towards communism. But it was nothing against communism because he was the Socialist Workers' Party. It was strictly, he wanted to be in control of Russia, and Stalin was in control of Russia, so he made Stalin his enemy. And that's really all there is to any of this. But in Europe, I am convinced that this exact same thing is going to happen in the United States. You see, well, the shares of the banks were hit, and prices of government bonds across Europe also fell. When the price of a bond falls, what that means is the yield goes up. When the yield goes up, that means that the government has to pay more money to borrow money. Now, in the United States, for example, the average maturity on a T-bill now is about 5 years. And so we're taking of our $17 trillion debt, over $5 trillion of it, plus the $1 trillion new debt each year. So $6 trillion needs to be refinanced every year. When yields go up, the government must pay more interest on that debt. You get to the point where the government is paying between 5 and 10% interest on its debt, and all of a sudden in the United States, you're adding between $1 and $2 trillion to the deficit every year just on interest payments, which makes the deficit irrecoverable. And so these economic leaders, if you will, in Europe knew precisely that this was going to happen, that rather than resolving the debt crisis in Cyprus, it was going to exacerbate it not only in Cyprus, but throughout Europe. And you might say, well, why would they do that? They're offering a bailout for the Cyprus debt. Certainly they couldn't be actually proposing a plan that would increase the debt through interest of every European country. Oh, yes, they are. That's precisely what they want, because when the economies fail and we end up in utter chaos, which is where Europe and the United States are headed, and it is unavoidable at this point, it's the oligarchs and the politicians who come out ahead because they end up controlling everybody. And so,
it's a power game at that point. It's not even a money game. It's a power game.
So they knew that by doing this, that interest rates would go up on servicing government debt, and that that was going to exacerbate the problem, not remedy the problem. Mind you, of course, that providing Cyprus with more debt is like giving a heroin addict a year's supply of heroin. It doesn't exactly resolve their addiction. Now, here's an interesting comment. It says, this is from Brennenberg, the Brennenberg Bank, an analyst wrote, the contagion. When you hear the word contagion, it's like hearing insurgents in the alleged war against the tactic known as terrorism. It means that the person is speaking with forked tongue. They are part of those who would choose to mislead. Contagion is the universal term used for a condition that influence the entire world. It's like a disease that can be caught. The contagion from Cyprus is fairly limited, but there is a tail risk that this measure could backfire, says the Berenberg Bank analyst. You see, if Europeans, like those in Italy and Spain and the UK and Greece, were to realize that this was the trial balloon for what's going to happen with them, they would immediately remove their deposits from banks. And those countries would instantly go into massive depressions. That's what would happen. And if Americans were aware of what is happening, if they were rational about what is happening, the same thing would happen in American banks. You just simply remove your deposits before your deposits are stolen. And America would end up in an absolute economic shambles. So the question is, are these politicians betting on the fact that the majority of people in America and in Europe are comatose? They're easily fooled. They can be played for fools. Their money can be stolen, and they won't do anything about it because they're just that ignorant and that irrational?
That's the bet. Yes.
Or are they also betting on the fact that the majority of people are actually opposed to being responsible? That the majority of people now have gone to the point that they've become so immoral that they think stealing what others have earned is appropriate so long as the benefits are given to them.
That's the same bet, Yada. I mean, really. I guess it falls on both sides, but it's yes to both.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one is based on complete apathy and ignorance. The other is based on grotesque immorality and being irrational. Now, there's a slight difference between being ignorant and being irrational. Right. Both lead to the same place.
Yeah.
But I think what you have here is they're betting that most people fall under one of those two categories. They're either grotesquely immoral, and they think, as did the majority who voted in this last election for Obama in America, that it is okay to steal that which is earned by others to lavish upon themselves. That is grotesquely immoral. Doesn't mean you're ignorant. It just means you're immoral if you voted for Obama. If you are on the other side, if you have savings, if you do pay some tax, if you don't receive benefits from the government, and you don't respond to this kind of thing, you're just ignorant. You're not processing, you're not being aware of the information that's available to you. You're not being observant of the facts. So I think that they're betting on both, that the majority of people agree with them and want the wealth of those who have actually earned something and can be self-sufficient and therefore not dependent upon government, stolen. I think the majority of people side with that view. And number two, that they're betting that those who don't side with them are so just involved in their own lives that they just think that, or don't think, and aren't aware that this is going to happen everywhere.
I wonder what percentage of people in the United States, as an example, aren't even aware of what they did in Cyprus. But it's pretty high.
Yeah, I was thinking of that as we were moving to the break. I was fairly confident that when I saw your name on the switchboard that you had seen this story and you recognized the consequence of this story. But I wonder how many talk radio programs are focusing on this story, as the lead story, because there's a number of really important stories that we should be talking about today, including this current Pope's allegiance to a reprehensible government that tortured its people in Argentina. We should be focusing on the fact that 50 people, 50 civilians, were blown to pieces today in Iraq as it relates to the consequence of the United States invasion. We should be paying attention to the fact that the most recent analysis now of the Iraqi war is that it's going to cost Americans $6 trillion. There are a lot of big stories, and we'll get to those stories in future programs. But we chose this story because we felt not only was it essential in understanding the world that we're headed towards, so that people might be aware and of where we are going in terms of a world, but because it is probably the single most influential story of our day. It is the trial balloon. And my guess is there is no other talk radio program, or if there are, there are few and far between, that are focusing on the consequence of this as it relates to them. This tiny little island nation is a harbinger of what's going to happen across Europe and in the United States.
Oh, and they're showing you. They're showing you. That's purposeful. They're
yes.
showing the whole world, look at what we're about to do to you, and all you have to do is agree to it.
Right, and what they're going to do is they're going to make, in fact, I am convinced that it has already been planned out this way, that they told the parliament on Cyprus, the government leaders in Cyprus, that this is what we're going to announce. We're going to announce it over the weekend. And that you shut down your banks. And we did it prior to, because Monday was a bank holiday already in Cyprus. We're going to do it in over a weekend. We're going to, at the close of business on Friday is when we're going to make this announcement, which gives you, your banks are going to be closed. And then what we're going to do, we're going to tell you, Cyprus, that you can negotiate this with us. But the thing that you can negotiate is the 6.75% confiscation on savings accounts of 100,000 euros or less. And that's precisely what they're doing. They will have full approval to steal 10% of everybody else's savings.
Who wants to be...
I'm your host, Yetta. We're covering a story on what happened in Cyprus because it is a harbinger of what is going to happen across Europe and in America and in the not-too-distant future. Precisely what we witnessed in Cyprus, we will witness in the United States. Here's another statement from the article from CNN Money. Analysts said that the levy set a dangerous precedent and could undermine depositors' beliefs that their savings are safe. Now, before I continue with this statement, understand the term their belief. Economics is very much like religion in this regard. It is the belief in the system, and a system that, by the way, is unworthy and unreliable. It's your belief in the system that makes the system work. It's the same thing as exists with religion. It's your belief in the religion that makes the religion effective, not in terms of reliable, because it is unreliable, but gets people to participate in it and to think that it is, to believe that it is reasonable. There's the quote. The Cyprus deal may prompt Europeans to question that their savings are safe, wrote financial markets analyst and blogger Luis Cooper. Quote, a fundamental safeguard to Europe's banking industry has been compromised for a tiny country consisting of 10 to 20 million euros to bail out. That was not a good trade. So the question has to be, since this is a non-government participant, non-banker that wrote this, is he unaware as to why they did it? Or does he know why they did it and knows that that was not a good trade? He's trying to alert you to the realization that this was a trial balloon that, when accepted, is going to be perpetrated on most of those in the world.
So now that we know the essential threat of what,
right.
what could happen,
will happen.
What will happen? Yes. What can we do to either stop it or, you know, to lessen the blow to ourselves?
Okay. First, we can't stop it. this trial balloon will show that we can't stop it. What would be required to stop it is the overall upwelling of the world's population saying, no, you cannot steal. Government stealing is grotesquely unethical and immoral. We must stop this. And the world's population is not going to rise up in this regard. They're going to allow this to happen, to have savings confiscated. Therefore, there is nothing that we can do to stop it. However, there is something that we can do to protect ourselves, one in the here and now, and far more important, one in the as it relates to eternity. Yahweh, as the precondition for participating in his covenant, the first thing he asks for us is to walk away from our country, to stop being reliant upon our country, to leave everything associated with Babylon, which is the world of religion and politics. He asks us to walk away from these things because he knows these human institutions are not reliable. Proof is in this story. And so what he wants us to do instead of relying upon our government and being dependent upon our government or our religion, to instead trust and rely upon him. So here is the long term and the short term, the opposite order. In the short term, what you can do is to recognize that in the New World Order, debts will be forgiven, which means if you have a mortgage on a home, it will be forgiven. You will be considered a victim of the banks, and so your debts will be forgiven, and your savings will be confiscated, because savings will be considered bad in the future of the world. So economically, you can maneuver yourself in that position, but of course, that means that you will be a participant in what is grotesquely immoral. So the other approach in the here to now is to recognize that your deposits at any one financial institution ought to be limited, and that you should have part of your savings in gold or other tangible forms of savings, so that this does not happen to you, and to live modestly so that the cost of sustaining your world is not beyond your means. Now, long term, there's only a singular thing that you can do. You can choose to trust and rely upon Yahweh and embrace the terms and conditions of his covenant. The path to that eventuality is what we're going to discuss in the second hour of this program. And that is the only viable option, Scott, as it relates to one's future, is to recognize, use stories like this, be aware of what's happening, be aware of what's going to happen, be aware of why Yahweh spoke against us being dependent upon our government, why he wanted us to walk away from our government, because when that happens, you're in a position to embrace the terms and conditions of his covenant and to become part of his family. And he indeed is reliable, and his riches are beyond imagination. I'm Yada. We'll be back with Shattering Myths after the break.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the...